We're having our sermon hymn a little bit later, and the children's sermon will come as the middle portion of the sermon, so that will be announced at the proper time. Our text is the epistle lesson, especially that section, verse 11, where Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God." So, we need the armor of God. We need the armor of God because we are in a world where there is opposition, there are enemies, there are spiritual enemies, there are enemies of the faith. And these are not what you would consider normal enemies that you can point to and identify. Paul talks about the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. So we need the armor of God. And you look at the armor of God, and Paul gives a fairly good description of what was armor in his day. Belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, sword. That being the armor of God, covering the Christian from head to toe, we are to know that we have something from God that is there for us so that we may face the things that we find in the world. Paul goes a little bit deeper. He identifies what each part of the armor corresponds to. So, the belt of truth. And truth is the beginning point because we have to have the truth of God in order to face off the deceptions, the lies, the false beliefs, the doubt that is so rampant in our world. The truth of God binds it all together. But notice as we go through this and the other parts of the armor of God, how closely each part ties in with a theme that we've been running. And that theme is of the Word of God. So the belt of truth is the truth of God that comes in His Word. The breastplate of righteousness. And by righteousness, well, we're going to talk like Luther. God's righteousness is what He does to make us righteous. It's not like the righteousness of that TV preacher that got on the airplane one day and he got in an argument with the steward, the stewardess, that involved him cussing her out and using bad language, and when she reminded him that he was supposed to be a preacher, he stared her down, put his finger in her face, and told her that he had never sinned in his life. Not that kind of righteousness that looks at itself and boasts. Instead, the righteousness that comes to us from God and through Jesus Christ, the righteousness that, strangely enough, in a picture that brings all of the opposite of righteousness into it, the righteousness of God is where Jesus takes all the unrighteousness, all the sin of the world, gathers it in one place, puts it onto the back of Jesus, and He carries it off to the cross where He suffers in our place and sweeps away our sin and the judgment that we have deserved. Seek that righteousness, and you will find that righteousness in the Word of God. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And again, there we are back to the Word of God. The gospel of peace is God's declaration of peace with us that means peace in our soul and peace with God that sends us out into the world. See, the feet being shod, getting ready to go out. And to go out into the world taking the peace of God with us to tell others about the peace that is given in Jesus Christ. Take up the shield of faith. Ah, what is faith? Again, good Martin Luther definition. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. There we are back at that theme again. Well, you can hardly get through any of it without getting back to this thing called the Bible. But in believing the words and promises of God, that shields us from all of the things that the devil can fling against us. All the temptations, the doubts, the lures into sin, all of the trials and difficulties in this world. If you believe the words and promises of God, you go forward and that shield extinguishes them. The helmet of salvation, to know that you are saved because of what Jesus has done, and having that helmet to guard your thoughts, to guard how you think about things and how you puzzle about things. And that helmet of salvation says to us, now you are saved from sin and death. You are saved to blessings and eternal life. And being called by God as his own, you have all of that guarded and kept by God. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that word of God, again, there we are with the word of God. But that word of God is then to go out into the world, to take the word of God and speak truth into a world of error, to speak forgiveness to a world that is full of the lost, to speak hope to a world that is filled with dying. But notice, this armor of God, as Paul takes the picture from that of a Roman soldier, is made for close quarter combat. This is not for the general sitting in the back and commanding other people to go and fight. This is for the soldier on the front line. And how much more on the front line can you be than to understand that one of the enemies that you are fighting against is, why, you yourself. The old sinful nature that wants to wander off from God. And we are expected to fight against those things. Now, that's why Paul uses the word wrestle. But again, there is help, because Jesus has poured out the Holy Spirit into our hearts to guide us in the faith and to guide us in this fight, so that while our flesh fights against the Spirit, we have the Spirit of God guiding us. At which point we come to the first musical selection in the sermon. It is hymn number 665, Be Strong in the Lord, a hymn that was written specifically about this passage in Ephesians. And as we sing this song in the last two verses, I'm going to wave the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Okay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on up. And I need a volunteer to start. Okay, come on. Okay. Now, what we're going to imagine is that you are right here as a Roman soldier. Okay? Your helmet, your breastplate. You've got your shield? Hold out your shield. There we go. And the shield to defend him. But there is something with this picture that is not quite right. Because one soldier alone, how much can you do? Not much. Okay, now I want three more of you to step up here. One, two, and one of the girls. Okay, come on. Okay, now step in a line next to him. All right, now you also are Roman soldiers now. So, got to hold out your shield. Now, here is the picture. I'm going to move you forward just a little bit. And you, okay. Now, here's the picture. The Roman soldier had a rectangular shield. Went like so. Which, pretty good for a shield. But you know what else you can do if you've all got rectangular shields like that? Hold them out nice and far out. You can put them all together. And now, all of a sudden, you imagine there is a wall of shields here. Oh, yeah. That's pretty amazing, isn't that? And now, this is pretty formidable. And you go marching into battle, and the enemy goes, uh-oh, there's a wall of shields. What are we going to do? Any of the other four of you? Step on up. I'm going to make you guys the front line. Come on. In front of the other four. Up here. Now. And you guys also have your shields out. So you're the front line. Like so. And the enemy says, uh-oh, we've got a wall of shields coming at us. Let's shoot arrows over the wall. So they start doing that. Do you know what you guys in the second row do? Yeah. In the front row, you hold your shields out, and the second row does this. You lift your shields up to cover the top of the person in front of you and yourself. And the third row goes like that also on all the way back, and Pastor L, what did you call that? An armored turtle. And there it goes. And the enemy says, what? What are we to do? Okay? Now, here's where it applies. We as Christians are together. And we hold the faith together. The shield of faith. We hold all of these things together. And when we are close together and holding the faith together and marching as one out into the world, that's pretty formidable, isn't it? Fancy word, formidable. It means it's really, really awesome and cool, and it's great stuff. So, the faith that we hold together is, we believe in Jesus. Do you remember we spoke the creed just before the sermon started? I believe in God the Father Almighty, and so on. That's what we share together. And as Christians, we head out into the world with that faith together. All right? Now that you've got the idea, we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for making us your own. Be by our side and help us to hold that faith and hold it together so that when we tell others about you, they may hear and believe. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you to go back and join your families, but I want you to move in a group together down the aisle until you get to your families. Go. Go as an army. They might need a little more training. Okay. Actually, when you look at the Greek words in that passage in Ephesians, the Greek is able to do something the English can't. The verbs are plural. Take up, plural, the shield of faith. Put on, plural, the whole armor of God. And all the verbs all through that are plural, and which leads to, we miss it in the English translations, it is there in the Greek, in the original, what Paul was talking about was the church as bound together by faith, marching together into this world. And have we marched together? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like the children in the children's sermon, may need more training, right? That's us. The great thing is, among our numbers is one who is truly mighty. But he does not choose at this point to go off on his own and leave us behind. He chooses to have us as his church, his people, his brothers and sisters, to be there with us, to be standing together with us. And now we're able to face all of the assaults of the world together. And at which point we then go to our next musical part, which is Onward Christian Soldiers. I've printed in the bulletin two of the verses, verses 2 and 4. Let's sing. Many who have looked at and talked about the armor of God have pointed out helmet, breastplate, belt, something for the feet, shield, sword. They've pointed out that one part, they say, is missing, and invited people to say, which part of the body is not protected there? Have you heard this? Which part? the back. And they'll go on and they'll say, well, that's pretty understandable, because in the Roman army, you didn't want your soldiers turning the back to the enemy. You wanted them facing forward, marching forward, and that's how you conquer. And then they say, well, that's how it is with the church. But wait, not so quick. Actually, that other part of the body is protected. It was protected in the Roman army. It is protected by our soldiers when they go to war. It is protected in the church. How then is the back defended? And the answer is, in the Roman army, the soldier does not protect his own back. He protects the back of the soldier next to him. And that soldier next to him protects his back. Now there's the picture that Paul seems to be picking up when, toward the end of this lesson, he turns to that one other thing. And we can ask, well, how do Christians protect each other's backs? Here's what Paul says: praying at all times in the Spirit, making supplication for all the saints. There's where it is. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Because, see, you as an individual Christian cannot be out there in the middle of the world protecting yourself from all sides in ways you have not anticipated. What do you do? What you do is you look for ways to protect the back, to have the back of your fellow Christian, and your fellow Christian to have your back. Pray for each other. When you see your fellow Christian going through a time of trial or difficulty, when you see your fellow Christian struggling with a temptation in a time of doubt or uncertainty, go immediately to God in prayer. And then, having gone in prayer, stand ready, because they need you. And you know that there will be a time when you need them. Pray for one another. And the one more thing to say about this is that we don't often enough mention that verse in the New Testament that says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Right now, before the Father's throne, Jesus prays for you. He knows your every need. He knows every weakness. He knows every angle that the devil is coming at you. He knows where you need to be defended. And not only is he praying for you, he is urging and leading your fellow Christians to pray for you. That's how the Christian church is bound together most closely with our Lord Jesus. He is the one that day by day, moment by moment, every second, carries on that ministry of intercessory prayer. It is part of the priestly office of Jesus to pray for us. And you think about all of the needs and all of the problems and all of the weaknesses that we, each one of us, have, and ask, could ever any one of us be able to fully cover each other's backs? The answer is no. Can Jesus? He is God. So, where we have at times fallen short of praying for each other or having each other's back, we go to our Lord and we bring our sins to Him. That's part of our sins. He declares forgiveness. He sends us back into this thing called the church, back to each other, to care for and watch out over each other. And that's what it means to be part of His people. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise and we conclude the sermon with singing one more verse, "Rise to Arms with Prayer Implore You," verse 3.